I'm just getting too old. I'm just, I still got a little hacking cough and my chest giving me trouble. I had the doctor up looking at it a while ago. I may have been, just don't feel good, but I guess it, I guess we'll get over it. He's done. Everybody has trouble. Tom Johnson says he hadn't recovered from his yet.
I don't mind anybody else being sick, but I just don't want you to be sick.
Well, I just, if I get this chest cleaned up, I'd be all right. David Kennedy, the reason I didn't get back to you, I got back to you, but you were at lunch then, but he came in this morning, and we rode around and looked at the deer and talked about all of his budget problems, and he agrees, he and Nixon, that even though Nixon said he was against surtax, that they ought to be for it, and I told him to get Nixon on board before I announced it, and then... on the tax reform thing, he agrees that we ought to give them a chance to go over it and let them submit it instead of me submitting it on my way out. I'm going to try to do that. And he discussed the balance payments thing some, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think he's probably a pretty reasonable fellow. Did you find him so?
Reminded me a good deal of Joe Fowler, except I doubt he's as good as Joe from the practical standpoint of working with the congressmen, senators. I was very worried about Russell's statement this morning. Have you given any thought to him on this Pueblo thing?
Yes, I have. And I got my notes together, and I thought that maybe I've got to go down now and cut a little tape on the housing situation. We've got a marvelous record on completely eliminating, almost except for a few percentage points, any discrimination in housing around our military bases.
That's good.
And I thought it would be, I'm cutting about a 40, 50 second tape on it. They wanted it, the networks wanted it, and I thought it'd be a nice little parting shot for the administration, because we've done a marvelous job, that is the military.
That's
and then I thought I'd have a little talk with Dick Russell and visit with him about this. We've got a column here that looks into this same question. So we have expected some little playback on that, but I'll see if I can't fool him off some on it.
What column?
It's by a man named Kilpatrick. And it's in the Star, the evening Star.
And what does he do, give us hell?
Well, I don't know if he gives us hell, but he says that the whole affair is a disgraceful chapter in naval history. He blames the whole thing on the Navy. That the old argument that we should not have had the intelligence ship there without having protected ships and an air cover, which of course shows that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Of course not. You couldn't get a damn thing that way.
Not a damn thing. That's right. It'd be like going around trying to tap somebody's telephone with a brass band.
That's right.
And so he doesn't know what he's talked about. But I might say there has been infinitely less of that than we had anticipated.
There's no question. There's nothing that's come out, though, that caused us to blame the boys, is it?
Nothing so far at all. No, it's just the what Kilpatrick attacks is the basic idea of having intelligence ships and not having a flotilla to protect them. Of course, the people who make that criticism are the very first ones to complain later when you take some action that might be wrong because you didn't have sufficient information. So that, but the good columnists have been perfectly all right.
Why is Russell mad? Did he want us to fire on him and never to let him take us?
He's awfully hard-nosed, and has. I've talked to him about this before. He's awfully hard-nosed about it. I think he feels that fellows under conditions of this kind should just stand by the guns and go down with the flag flying, John Paul Jones, Stephen Decatur et al., whereas the guy on the ground has to make decisions with reference to the welfare of his men. We think that Booker has acted very well, and I might say that we sent three men from the Defense Department out to Seoul a week before this thing came off, and I think they did one of the best jobs that's ever been done. We had about 15 places where we thought that it might come loose, and they had every one of them stopped up. They, when working with the Navy, really did a superb job. I took the time to write each one of them a letter of commendation because they did a marvelous job. We've brought this off amazingly well, and you think of the kind of apology we had to sign, and one thing and another, that's gotten very little attention.
And what's Laird raising hell about her supplemental for, and I told you so and all this stuff?
Well, I don't know that he's raising hell about it. He just says that he predicted last fall that we'd have to have a supplemental in 69. Well, hell, I said two or three months ago at a press conference that we'd have to have a supplemental. He estimated our supplemental at 3.8. He's a little over on that. But it just gets him in the act. He'll be wanting to get in the act.
How much supplemental are we going to have?
Well, it's a little hard to know right now, but it could well be close to three. But we'll have those figures a little more as we see some developments. It's going to depend to a great extent upon what happens now in the next 6 months with reference to the level of combat. If the level of combat goes down, as it well could, that supplemental's going to slide down.
When will you have to submit your supplemental?
I don't know that we have a firm date on it as yet. We've got to give them some indication of it, you see, before we all clear out of here. Laird's coming in the day after.
Will I submit the supplemental?
I've got to find that out. We're going to have reference to it, but let's see here. In the, uh,